D-Maze, Fingin, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingin. Some news to pass along from Tennessee Titans head coach Brian Callahan. Tajay Spears won't practice today. He's week-to-week with a hamstring injury, if I recall correctly. Coburn is out for practice, likely for the game, according to Paul Kaharsky. Also, according to Paul Kaharsky, the Titans are working through things with Jamal Adams, who's been put on the non-football injury list. And Derek, listening to you discuss that with Teron Davenport during the pregame show, it certainly sounds like there's just maybe like a difference in opinion on his usage as to why he's now out for four games.
Yeah, it's weird because the Titans didn't say anything about an injury in regards to Jamal Adams. I know, you know, that was one of the things when they first brought him here. Is he healthy? Because he hadn't played, you know, because he has missed games. But, you know, during camp, it was like, okay, we're going to hold him out, make sure he's completely healthy. He barely practiced with, along with a few other guys that barely practiced. But at the beginning of the season, they did not make it seem like he was still dealing with an injury. So, with that being said, I wonder what's really going on. Like,
is it a bruised ego?
I don't know what it is. Like, you brought this guy in to help out with your secondary. And as Willie has informed me, which I did know but forgot, Diggs, what is his status for this upcoming game? Because he did leave last game with an injury.
He had a collision early with the tight end where it looked like he ran into a brick wall.
Exactly.
But is he okay? I haven't seen them mention him at the press conference today. Yes.
Exactly. So is he playing?
I don't know.
Is he practicing? Is he limited?
Well, I guess my point is, if Adams is playing so well, it's not like they have Ronnie Lott and Kevin Byard at his all-pro form and like these great safeties that are keeping him from getting. I would feel like a guy who is playing at the level he thinks he's playing at, they would find a way to get him on the field.
But here, what you was about to say, Adam?
I say we have Jonathan Hutton, who's been waiting patiently. Let's bring Hutton into this conversation.
Yes, we're just a little bit late. Music. Yes.
Sorry.
You guys are good. I was enjoying this. It's a great conversation.
Well, Derek, why don't you continue?
Yeah, okay.
Hutton in the conversation, now please continue your thoughts.
Exactly. And this question is directed, you know, to you, Hut. The whole Adams thing is mind-boggling to me. It's baffling to me because you brought a guy in, you talked him up. He was going to be a part of this defense once he got fully healthy. And it seemed like as camp started to end, he was fully healthy. He was ready to go. He played some plays here and there during the season. But then you put him on a list that doesn't indicate that he's physically unable to play for you. You owe your fans. You owe your fans an explanation why this is happening. Because if you're 4-0, okay, you don't. But you won one game. And your defense last week didn't look as good toward the end of the game. And you got one of your safeties down. You need to explain to your fans why Adams isn't playing. Why is he on that list when he's not hurt?
He has 20 defensive snaps this season.
Exactly.
The way, just for
so they need to explain to their fans why is he a guy that you brought in, you talked about, that can help your defense. He's not hurt. So why isn't he playing?
Man, so it could also be that he's frustrated by the lack of playing time.
Yeah.
And felt he could contribute more, but he's played, what, one snap against the Dolphins. That's the last time we saw him. And then it happens over the bye week. See? I'm reading into that direction, Mace. And let me, as you guys were talking to open the segment, let me throw this out there. I don't get the sense that Calvin Ridley would have said what he said, fair or not for me to bring this up, with Mike Vrabel as the head coach. I think this is a locker room that will point fingers eventually. And I think that is a massive problem.
Which is something that Derek has been preaching for weeks.
So, no doubt.
The fracturing of the locker room.
And Mace, you know this, especially from the receiver standpoint, right? Like, you want the ball. You're paid to get the ball. Give me the ball. But, I mean, even, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, some of his comments post-game have been more about, you know, the defensive line played well. you know, sacks don't matter, but we're getting pressure on the quarterback and Joe Flacco. I mean, I'm reading into that maybe too much, but at the same time, I don't see a locker room that is going to be as cohesive with the direction and mindset that we've seen this offseason as much as it was about being tough, not as fun, but tough, physical, focused, and all about the team mantra. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like repeating the same thing every week. Those types of leaders are gone, and you have to have other guys step up. And the fact that the quarterback hasn't done that, and you have a first-time head coach, and you have a young GM. I mean, this is a big road swing here for Brian Callahan. On the road, back-to-back, Buffalo and Detroit, to kind of keep things together after standing at a podium on Monday and saying that he liked what he heard from those that, you know, gave their opinion on where things are going crazy.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure something out.
Am I wrong? Am I reading too much into that?
I don't think you are, because slowly we are starting to hear things come out of this building. And I said this was going to happen if they continued to lose, if Will Levis couldn't, you know, turn whatever he was doing around. I said eventually there's going to start being cracks in the armor. And the crack started with Jeffrey Simmons saying something a few weeks ago. Now it's Calvin Ridley. Now it's Jeffrey Simmons again. You know, talking about the defensive line and sacks are not everything. And I understand him from that standpoint. But they paid you and they went out and get big to Devondre Sweat. Why? To create sacks.
Yeah.
And y'all haven't created outside of Harold Landry, and people want to trade him away. That's an asinine suggestion. And he's the only person that's getting sacks. But beside Harold Landry, no one else is getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, and at least in Simmons' defense, from where I sit, at mm-hmm. least he's discussing some type of production yeah. that he's a part of. Mm-hmm. Ridley's discussing the fact that he doesn't have production and why. You know, there's a difference there. And let me also throw Jamal Adams into this, too. This is why I thought of this, why I heard you guys talk. I mean, he's on the non-football injury list. So this has nothing to do with whatever injury he came in with that hip since training camp. He missed the season opener. This is the non-football injury is a reserve list that the team can have for something that happens, you know, off the field.
Hold on. Hey, Hutt, let me ask you this, and I'm going to pass it off to the other two guys. Do you think, and listen, this is just a question. It's not a suggestion.
He's just asking questions, folks. I'm just asking a question.
So what happens when you're 1-4?
Exactly. Do you think that Brian Callahan is over his head, or he's over his skis, and he doesn't know how to deal quite with these egos that he has in that room?
No.
Whether it be Calvin Ridley, Jefferson, and I'm gonna go back to what Joe said, even though I didn't agree with Big Joe when he said it about the whole Jeffrey Simmons, you know, going at the reporter at Buck, yeah. and then, you know, starting right. fights, and he did not kick him out of practice. He right. did not squash it. Maybe, just maybe, is he over his head in this?
I don't think so. Because he's got, number one, he has a veteran coaching staff around him. Mm-hmm. That's number one. That's been there and done that in situations like this, just like you have been in those locker rooms, Mace. Mm-hmm. Number two, he was in a pretty badass locker room in Cincinnati. Right, mm-hmm. like he's dealt with egos before, so I'm not afraid to say that I think he's prepared to deal with some of the stars of the league. I think more than he is over his head, I think his hands are tied. Mm-hmm. I mean, this really for him, if you look at the offense, this really swung after that Green Bay game. You know, that with the offensive line, that's the turning point for Callahan, how many sacks they gave up, the adjustments that were made against him. Things have looked different since that game. And, you know, it's more of the same. They've got to run the football. They're afraid to throw it, either because of Levis or because of their offensive line. It's going to just give them no shot. But if you think about the last 2 weeks, based on their game plan, coming off of the Green Bay game, they've allowed one sack. And 3 games ago was the Packers. The entire conversation after the Green Bay week was about how bad the offensive line played. In the two games, after allowing one sack, they've thrown for less than 200 yards combined, and they're averaging 4.3 yards per pass attempt, which is a full yard less than the 31st ranked offense. So I think, I mean, the presser on Monday, I know you guys listened to it, that was a very different tone from a coach that has stood up there and said, you know, and talked positivity, and I felt like I had always had a optimistic outlook. This was more about, he was tongue-tied with some of the answers to questions that he received, and he was, you know, thinking through how to word and phrase things in a way that wasn't just straight up being honest or maybe lying to the media or to the fans about what's going on here, you know, admitting the conservative game plan. And he's got there's more questions than there are answers, and they felt like they went into the season with more answers than what they felt like they would get in the offseason. It's an interesting point of the season for him, I'm saying, because, look, let's be honest with this whole thing. Why did John Robinson get fired? I think the majority of people would point to A.J. Brown. I point to the offensive line. And with the upgrades that they felt like they have made this offseason on the offensive line and the struggles that they've had on the right side, they know that they have to protect the quarterback that Amy Adams Strunk has pointed out in her statement with what they're doing moving forward as an organization. So first and foremost, they can't give up the league in sacks and have their quarterback hurt before they have the evaluation. And the evaluation seems to be over because of that.
Hutt, where do you sit where they are right now about trading? I know D-Mace is dead set against it. We had a good debate on this yesterday.
Okay.
Trading Harold Landry and DeAndre Hopkins. But let's start with Landry, because that one, D-Mace thinks that Landry can be a positive force for the next few years, which I think is the central question. Can he be on the next? Can he be a big part of the next good Titans team, knowing that his contract, he's one of the most expensive players they have on the roster right
now? Yep. How many years does Landry have left now?
According to SpotRac, I think he's got two more years after this. There is an out, according to SpotRac, and I think that's their assessment of it. I don't know if that's something that's actually in the contract, but you could pay, I think, $13 million of dead money to get out of it. But his cap hit over the next 2 years after this is something like $24
million. Yeah, so
it would have to be addressed, I think. Yeah.
I mean, he's one of their success stories. And for this organization, I'm saying, he's about to be the all-time leader in sacks, I believe, for the Titans, surpassing. I'm saying that from the edge position, for what he's done, passing Derek Morgan coming up, I believe. Point being, Willie, they should, looking back, I think if you ask Rand Carthon about what they did this offseason, looking back on last year, would they go back and trade Derrick Henry? Would they trade Tannehill? You know, all the other – they trade Byard. I think looking back on what they didn't do last year and wanting and knowing that Chad Brinker, through the piece that Paul Kuharsky did at his site, paulkuharsky.com, he wants as many picks as possible. Yeah, I mean, I think you all players are on the table depending on how things go on this road swing. I mean, at 1-6 going into the trade deadline, why wouldn't you try to build up draft capital? The thing though is they don't have many players that are going to drive the price up. I think Hopkins could actually bring the most interest.
You think more than Landry?
Well, I don't know if I would trade Landry though in my answer.
Okay, so you're closer to the
defense. If you trade Landry, you open up another glaring piece to the puzzle. They need another pass rusher anyway next draft. They've got to find that guy. And if you don't find him in the draft, you're signing someone that you're probably paying more than what you're going to pay Landry. So, and Landry's productive. I'm saying he's a solution, not a question. So I'm keeping him in my pocket. Although, again, you could blow me away with a trade offer, but I don't know at the trade deadline how many teams are just blown away with an offer that they can't refuse on a player that they would like to keep. Hopkins is different with the expiring contract and the fact that you know you're probably not bringing him back because you'll draft a younger receiver If you wanted to bring him back, you would have extended him during training camp. So I think that's certainly on the table. And I think Hopkins wants to go win. I don't blame him if he wants to go win the way Derrick Henry did. A lot is determined just solely based on the needs of other teams. Wide receiver is going to be a premium.
Hutton, before we let you go, we were discussing the upcoming game between Alabama and Tennessee. I loved what Chase used to describe that game during his show. He called it a loser leaves town match. It certainly yes. feels like the loser of this game. Well, let me rephrase that. Does the loser of this game do their college football playoff chances go up in smoke?
Yes, just like LSU Ole Miss last week. That's the way I view this game. It's a loser leave town elimination game. The college football playoff has started for the SEC. You've got six teams with one loss, nine teams with two. And you look around the country, Adam, and you see the Big 12, the chase for the Big 12 championship is going to be nuts with the teams that they have sitting there and all the possibilities. I mean, you could pick BYU, but you can make a case for five other programs if you wanted to. Meanwhile, you have the scenario of Clemson meeting Miami, an unbeaten Miami, and Clemson winning, and whether or not that would get two teams for the ACC in. And then the Big Ten is once again top-heavy in terms of playoff, but then there's the sneaky Indiana that has not been tested in terms of the top three teams, but they get Ohio State coming up relatively soon, I think. So, again, there's scenarios in a college football landscape right now that is crazy, and Texas has Georgia, but then has a sneaky, interesting schedule towards the end of the year that we didn't expect. Where's the SEC sit in all of this? And if you think I predicted five would get in preseason. I don't think there's five now, just based on how the other conferences are playing out and how much weight is going to be put on the conference championship games. Upsets in the conference championship games will keep better teams out, I believe, just top to bottom teams, because of the success of what has taken place on that weekend. And you have some of the top teams in the conference fall on those weekends. And all of a sudden, those teams are still in. They're hosting games, but they're not getting the bye.
Now, Hutt, quickly before we get you out of here, we got about a minute. Should Lane yep. Kiffin be on the hot seat?
Oh, that's a great question. The answer is no, though. I mean, who do you replace him with, Mace?
But he brought all these guys. He used the NIL, and this was supposed to be the season that he get his team. They opened yeah. it up for Lane Kiffin to get his team in, and you still not going to get in?
I don't think he's on the hot seat. They just ponied up and actually mm-hmm. met the ante with the 9 million plus. There's a lot of average coaches.
So okay, let's say that.
There's a lot of average coaches getting right. paid tons of money.
Let me say this: if he was at somewhere outside of Ole Miss, if he's at Texas, or if he's at Bama, or if he's yep. at Ohio State, would he be on the hot seat?
I think he's probably in the playoff. just based on more money spent at some positions and just the overall depth of what he's going to inherit. But, yeah, I mean, I think if he's outside of the SEC, he's in the playoff. Mm-hmm. Let me also add in, I mean, Lincoln Riley's about to be with the way things are going at SC. And if he's not, he will be going into next year. But the only way Kiffin leaves is if he gets another gig that he wants, and Ole Miss could then effectively get rid of him by not matching the contract the way they did whenever he was flirting with Auburn back then.
Jonathan,
or last year, whenever with Alabama, just having his name mentioned. He will have his name mentioned, that's for sure.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us as he does every Wednesday afternoon. Hutton, thanks for chatting. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I think Billy Napier should have gone for two, by the way.
Well, it probably would have won in the game.
Thanks, Hutton. 615-737-1025. I do want to get back into the DeAndre Hopkins conversation because I stumbled across an interesting article about the value of wide receivers and in-season trades. And that could give us a glimpse of what DeAndre Hopkins could be worth for the Tennessee Titans if they were to trade him. We'll do that next. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rexroad tomorrow morning at 8:45.
Mm-hmm.